SDS and Spirit and Truth Fellowship over the past, oh, 7 or 8 months that I've kind of heard about it, although I've heard rumblings of this for a few years, there's been a thing called personal prophecy, which I have always found it very, very odd. It didn't necessarily seem to have a biblical, it could have biblical basis, but what they were doing with it didn't seem to. And it was, when it was brought to light what was going on, I made Greasepot available to let people read what was happening and also air their concerns, differences, and get them to see what was going on. One thing that I've noticed since I've been reading this stuff, and it hit me a few nights ago when I had read a letter that someone had sent me. All the concern was about the board of directors, the clergy, and I went in and read John Lynn's letter that he wrote on the 26th, and he addressed all sorts of issues that had to do with the board, with the prophecy, with the clergy, the disagreements and things like that. But there was no real addressing of the followers, the innocent parties, I guess, would be the best way to put it. The people that have looked up to these 10 or 12 people for guidance in that, and suddenly finding out that the guidance was not what they thought it was.
Yeah, I think part of what you're talking about comes from a legacy from the Way, in that they're very much organization focused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really on the people, but on, you know, doing the research, doing the publishing, selling the classes. You know, even the Way ambassador idea of witnessing was primarily recruiting people to buy the class. And I think that's carried over to a great degree into what CES has done, and I can see that in your comments just a moment ago, is that the organization is the focus to a great degree. And, you know, people certainly are going to be affected by this, you know, as you mentioned, because people tend to follow the way of their leaders or are influenced by them. And as some of the, you know, the facts of the controversy or crisis have come up, people see their leaders doing different things. In some cases, they see some of them as being apathetic towards, you know, what has been going on, as not being able to reconcile. If you think if your leaders, you know, who are supposed to be more spiritually advanced, aren't able to reconcile with each other or are locked in power struggles, you know, how can they lead us, you know, in our fellowship to be locked in power struggles or in our families or something like that? If they see what they think of as, you know, bickering among the leadership as, you know, being a big part of what how they relate to each other, you know, what kind of example is that? Or of, you know, using spiritual things to manipulate others. Now, these are some real deep issues, and people's spiritual lives, you know, and their emotional lives are affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see the leaders do it, or, you know, to sense that there's no help in this leadership if this is something that, you know, they've become wrapped up in. So there's a lot of fallout from that.
Right.
That isn't always apparent unless a person actually shares that,
right.
You know, shares how it troubles them. And, you know, leadership, especially in a large organization, isn't likely to hear a lot of that directly anyway, even though it exists out there among a lot of people who are aware of that. And probably so much the more in some place like CES or any splinter group in which, you know, people, in many cases, their relationships go back to when they were in the Way, you know, so it's not just, you know, a face on a television screen or a voice on the tape. I mean, they know a lot of these people, and I think it has, you know, all the more effect since they have that personal knowledge or personal tie at some time in the past anyway.
Yeah, it's astounded me. I was brought, as I read some of the comments that people made and the emails that I've gotten and things like that, I was brought back to when I went to see you back in, you know, 86, 87. And I know that one of the things that happens is you get to, when you've learned all about the deception and things like that, you suddenly get to this point where you feel kind of empty. You all of a sudden realize that maybe you trusted too much in your leadership and not enough in God and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know for me, when I think of that moment that I had, I believe it was just before I went to see you. You know, it was a point where I was virtually hopeless. I mean, in the truest sense of that word, and wondered where to go from there. And I think some of that stuff has happened from what I've been reading from people and talking with people. Is happening here, that all of a sudden they realize that as they start to see the pieces put together, they realize that there is manipulation, there is control, and particularly taking something like prophecy and utilizing it to do, in my opinion, unspeakable things. We know of one marriage that was ended because of it, and it just...
And I can see why the hopelessness would be there.
Right.
I mean, it's despair as a result of a deep loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the loss of not wanting to be attached to this organization anymore or not subscribing to these tapes or something like that. It's a real deep loss.
Right.
It's a loss of trust in your leadership and, by extension, a loss of trust in God, who's supposed to be, you know, active in the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loss of a reorientation, knowing that there's something deeply wrong here, and it probably is a lot of things. I mean, it's what I've been taught. It's what I've absorbed as far as my way of believing and my way of relating or my way of fellowshipping, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, so there's some real deep losses, and I think, you know, that feeling of despair or hopelessness is what comes out of that. And the more those things have meant something to you, the deeper the feeling of loss and the deeper feeling of despair
mm-hmm.
is going to be there. Now, you know, with any kind of loss, you know, there's different emotions you go through and kind of a process of dealing with that. Of course, some people never do deal with
right.
the loss that they have. And they're just destroyed by it forever. You know, others learn how to deal with that a little better. And if you're able to adapt and reorient, you know, it can be a strengthening thing. I don't think the hurt ever goes away completely.
Right.
But it certainly is healed to some degree and replaced to some degree. So probably the people who have been most invested, have most looked up to CES and its leadership, are the ones that are going to have that most deeply, but even peripheral people will. You know, kind of like the controversy in the Catholic Church over, you know, pedophiles among
mm-hmm.
the priests. I mean, the people who the Church means most to probably feel the deepest, but there's also a whole lot of peripheral Catholics who only show up on, you know, Christmas and Easter who are also affected by that.
Right.
So there's a lot of fallout that comes from that. But the good news is, you know, you can deal with that. You know, you can accept the loss and rebuild
mm-hmm.
and find, you know, a sense of hope again and a sense of restoration to one degree or another, and then build something better to replace, you know, the structure that's been knocked down
right.
or that's seen to be, you know, full of termites or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to take a step back and to... I'd say go back to the basics,
mm-hmm.
you know, basics of a devotion to the Lord, of a you might say, a simpler, more childlike faith in a sense.
Right.
In a sense, you're kind of regressing, but it's often a necessary step to reorient, kind of like retracing your steps if you've been walking the wrong direction for a while.
Right. One thing that maybe we can... Oh, yes, here it is. Accepting God's grace. And this applies as much to CES as it does to TWI. But let me read this thing that you wrote. This was actually in 98. TWI mouths the importance of God's grace and forgiveness to salvation. This is good to a point. However, TWI as a system is extremely legalistic, and grace and acceptance is hard to find in TWI. Regimentation, not Christian freedom, is the rule. Everyone is expected to fall lockstep in line behind leadership. Do it now or else. Fear, orders, confrontation.